it's rolling on the 100th. Yeah.
Rolling, 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 rolling. Keep rolling, rolling, rolling.
Yeah.
Move in, now move out. Hands up, now hands down. Breathe in, now breathe out.
Gunner's having a moment.
Tell me what you want to do now.
We're rolling.
You don't remember Limp Bizkit?
I mean, I don't remember that much of Limp Bizkit.
Howdy, 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 everyone.
Welcome to the 100th episode of Texas, the show about some things Texas.
And some things kicking ass at podcasting.
Oh, yeah.
Tito's and Shiner. Gonna be an all-nighter. And I just might find her at the Whataburger. Dance halls and women, but man, I'm wishing that I was fishing by the river tonight in Texas.
We are so excited to bring our regular programming to you today, brought to you by a little bit of Buc-ee's.
A little bit of Buc-ee's paraphernalia also, for the 100th episode.
Bah, 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 bah. Also brought to you by a couple of our not sponsors.
Not sponsors. They don't sponsor us. They give us zero clout, zero money, and all the attention.
No money at all. No clout. No followers, but we still love our not sponsors.
Gunner Bear, who's our first not sponsor?
Our first not sponsor for today's episode is Staying Hard by David Goggins.
Staying Hard by David Goggins.
The finest in Jim Bro erectile dysfunction.
Staying Hard by David Goggins.
Who's going to carry the loads? Who's going to carry the loads?
You are with Staying Hard by David Goggins. Giving Frank Thomas and Nugenics an ultra run for their money since 2023.
Staying Hard by David Goggins.
Fix your ED by yelling.
Staying Hard by David Goggins.
Those are salt pills, by the way. It's not actually a
better than the competitor Keep Hammering by Cameron Haynes.
That's actually a dildo. Anyway,
Staying Hard by David Goggins.
Who's our other not sponsor for today's episode?
Our other not sponsor for today is Bluebell.
Bluebell!
I don't care how many times it gets recalled. I'm going to die fat and happy, eating full of Rocky Road. It's Bluebell!
Oh, I was going.
Oh, you were
going
to go.
Usually, you go two
usually.
Or three,
well, I was going to try this thing where
it's the best ice cream on the planet. Don't care what anyone says. It's Bluebell,
named after a Texas wildflower, not the bluebonnet. It's Bluebell.
It is better on a hot piece of pecan pie than any hot piece of anything else on the planet. It's
Bluebell. Your church function, graduation, and funeral isn't complete without a pint of Bluebell.
Suck it, Blue Bunny.
Bluebell. You know, I feel like a giant when I eat the little like tiny thing.
Uh-huh, so
you
good.
Know, you've got like the little like the actual
the
single serving
yeah,
with the wooden spoon.
And you know what's real fun? Okay, so take the kitty cup. Mm-hmm. The kitty cup of Bluebell. You're welcome, everybody. This is free. Summer's coming up. You want to keep the beach bod, so you don't want to do what I do, get a gallon and just, you know, yeah, eat the whole bucket. Get the kid cup. And then get a little cast iron skillet, one of the tiny
one egg. The one egg cast iron.
Cast iron skillet.
Yeah.
Put blackberries in there with a little bit of sugar.
Sure.
So that they caramelize a little bit.
Yeah.
Scoop those out on top of the Bluebell.
Sure.
Scoop.
So
super good.
Bluebell. You made that really complicated.
How did I make that complicated?
That was so many steps to say caramelize some blackberries and put them on top. That would have been so
sorry that I'm not a chef, Seth.
I mean, hey, I don't know, man.
I didn't know that's what caramelized meant.
Okay, so if everyone said caramelized blackberries, would they do exactly what I just said?
Fine.
Stop it.
Okay.
Stop
fine.
It. All you had to do. You got so... Okay, why do I have to get the tiny skillet? Why can't I just do it in a regular skillet? And then the misdirect, you have the tiny skillet. Why wouldn't you put the ice cream then over the skillet? Like, why do I have the tiny skillet if I'm not going to implement it for some reason?
Valid points.
Thank you.
Here's why. You portion a lot more correctly when the thing you're cooking in is mm-hmm. to size. What if you do too many blackberries?
Then you have extra and you invite a friend over. You give them their own little
Well, now
bell.
We need a pint of ice cream. We started
but
with
now
the
we
kid
have the
size.
Kid one.
You're complicating
this. I'm just saying, you're making this complicated. I want to feel like a giant and eat a tiny little thing with a wooden spoon. That's all I'm saying.
Don't take my advice and make your experience better. Anyway, do you want to hear about what happened once upon a time in Texas history?
Once upon a time!
What happened?
What happened? Once upon a time.
So once upon a time in Texas history, and this is a fun one because it's a rare occasion where the thing happened on March 24th or May 24th, and it's
and May 24th.
Not the day this comes out, right? But
you're
right
gonna be
now,
listening at a different time, so that doesn't matter to you at all.
May 24th, 1992.
Mm-hmm.
Cap Chain the Third caught what is to this day the biggest shark off of the coast of Texas ever recorded.
Okay.
Which I did a deep dive here, yeah. And I'm a big shark guy. I love sharks. I'm a bit of an Anthony Jeselnik type of person when it comes to sharks.
Shark party.
And I never really actually dove into what are some of the biggest sharks caught off of Texas.
Sure.
I know that there are some bigger species off the coast of Texas, but didn't realize
how big they got.
I didn't realize that tiger sharks can make their way up into the Gulf.
Oh, yeah.
Hammerheads are found sometimes. It's not the small Mako, but it's like a pygmy Mako shark, mm-hmm. which is still about 5 feet long.
They're real cute.
Bull sharks every once in a while. Yeah. Tiger sharks have become incredibly frequent in Texas waters over the last 30 years.
Okay. Did they tell you why?
It's because of basically not global warming, but like the warming of the Atlantic going into the Gulf.
Okay, so it can
carried a little bit more into the Gulf. And there's just all the rigs create these ecosystems
hammerheads and like
because there's a lot of food. It's a great ecosystem, honestly. But yeah, this guy caught a 13.5 foot long, 1,195 pound tiger shark off the coast of Texas. To put that in perspective, because I think we sometimes think we know how big something is. 13.5
Ladies.
Feet is if you stay in Harvard, David Goggins.
Stay in Harvard.
Also, how was the character?
That was really good. That was really good. I
did ruin it by telling you.
Well, but like, you know what? I still didn't know it was coming. So David Goggins.
13.5 feet long is if you took two queen size beds and put them together at the head and the foot.
Right.
That's how long.
Wow.
And that's as heavy as my Honda CRV.
Yeah.
That is how big that fish was.
That's insane.
And he caught it by himself.
On a rod and reel.
On a rod and reel on a boat by himself. Mm-hmm. He wasn't with a party. He wasn't with a group. He was just out fishing by himself and
just
caught
chilling.
The biggest tiger shark in Texas history.
How do you think you feel whenever you like reel that in?
Scared as shit. Right? Especially when you're like, I have to finish this.
Yeah, you've been fighting it for like 5 hours. And you're just like, this thing is going to kill me.
And
I don't know what it is.
This thing is going to sink my boat.
This is either the Titanic or something
massive.
I'm either
hooked on a freaking ship liner right now or a giant tiger shark. So,
man.
Yeah, biggest tiger shark.
Wow. This day in Texas history.
This day in Texas history.
It happened
that time in 1992. You want to hear about our small town of the week.
Small town of the week.
Where is it? All right. Town of the week. I try not to look at phones and stuff, one was just...
No, I get it. Yeah.
Seldom do I find anything other than a Wikipedia page for some of these towns. I found this obscure, weird places to visit in Texas site. And the way it listed this, it was too funny to not just go verbatim. Yeah. So our small town of the week is Miami, Texas.
Miami.
Summer's coming up. I know everyone's wanting to go to Miami.
Miami.
So we're going to go to Miami, Texas. And
sometimes I just drink too much coffee and it's like, wow.
Like, whoa.
It's like, whoa.
It's cocaine.
It might as well be.
So the name Miami. The name Miami is said to have been Alcuin for sweetheart, hence the motto sweetheart of the plains.
Okay.
They are unable to discover why an Alcuin word would have been used in the wilds of Texas, but it is known the words are transported. Squaw, papacy, and wampum, we are told, were words from East Coast tribes that traveled west to the settlers. So that's how we got the name Miami. Here's a timeline of significant dates in Miami, Texas history. 1879, town begins as a humble half dugout stagecoach stop between Mobiti and New Mexico. 1887, town was plated. 1888, population rises to 250 with all the amenities of a thriving town. 1889, Roberts County was organized and declared county seat, but the election was contested and Parnell became county seat in 1898. 1894, first newspaper comes out, the Weekly Echo. 1898, county seat moved to Parnell. 1907, bank opens. Where'd they keep their money before that? Under the mattress? Freaking ghetto. 1910, schools open. I think you just mean school. There was one school. 1915, population reaches 700. 1923, first Roberts County Fair is held. Aww. with all 200 people. 1930s, library started in the courthouse basement, so clearly not a lot of reading going on. 1968, a tornado destroys the town of Miami.
That's and then it's over.
Well, to this day, though, the biggest thing that we can pull about Miami, and June's coming up, y'all, so be ready for this. By the way, Miami located a bit in the panhandle outside of Pampa. They have a yearly Pampa.
Miami and Pampa.
Miami and Pampa.
It'd be funny if it was Tampa.
Right? Pampa Bay. So Miami has a cow calling contest each June in the city park. So if you're going to Amarillo or Lubbock in the next couple weeks and you hear a whoa,
you'll know. Give me your best cow call.
Cow call or cow sound?
Cow. Those are two different things. That's okay. Give me your best cow call. Yeah.
I just thought of so many mean things. You know,
right. Okay, fair, all fair. Right,
so ask me again.
All right. Gunner, what is your best cow call?
Lena Dunham, come here. Give me yours.
I can't follow that. Oh, I don't know if I can follow that.
Callback. Gotta love a callback to 3 months ago.
Oh my god. Technically that's a whale call.
Oh, you are right. You are right. So my best cow call would be hey, and then I would just throw a bunch of hay everywhere.
I'd just pull I'd pull my best Fluffy and just be like, mirror.
Hey. Now give me your best cow noise.
On all right, cow noise.
That's not bad. That's really good. I can't follow that.
You know what? You were funny, and I'm accurate.
I'm lactating.
Oh man.
Who's our badass of the week?
Our badass of the week.
I was drinking badass of the week.
Funny enough, I could not find anywhere I looked, and I did look for a while when he was born.
Okay.
This guy's name is E.F. Cruzy.
E.F.
So,
Cruzy.
Ed Cruz. Okay. Ed Cruzy, which is how I saw it pronounced. Okay. Took over what was at the time what became the Bluebell factory.
Okay.
Yeah.
Really?
All right. So in 1919, he takes over the I got to get it right.
You're not screwed up. It is Bluebell. I'd rather not.
Yeah, exactly. So at the time, it was the Brenham. So Brenham, yeah. The Brenham Creamery.
Yeah.
Brenham had a lot of dairy farmers, mm-hmm. and they realized that if they pulled together and combined their dairy, they could mm-hmm. sell more,
yeah.
more effectively. So they started the Brenham Creamery.
Okay.
And it was going okay, but financially they were hitting some hardship.
Yeah. Heading toward utter disaster.
They hire Ed mm-hmm. to take over as manager.
Okay.
In 1919.
All right.
And he is so committed to making this venture successful that he goes without pay for 6 months.
Really?
He doesn't cash the check until he's certain that he can turn this factory around.
Is his paycheck going back into the business, basically?
He's just not taking anything. He's like, this is allotted to me. I'm not cashing it until I know that this is actually going to be a successful endeavor.
Okay.
So he basically turns the entire creamery around. Yeah. He makes better connections. He starts distribution and makes it successful.
Okay.
So In 1930, he changes the name to Blue Bell. They find that the ice cream sells better than everything else.
Yeah.
They start producing 10 gallons in an hour. They're churning their asses off, right?
Yeah. Oh, this is by
this
hand.
Is by this hand is still. So they're doing it by hand at first. Yeah. And because they're doing it by hand, it's higher quality.
Duh.
So they start selling really well.
Okay.
Once it becomes clear mm-hmm. that the way he's running the factory is more successful than mm-hmm. anybody else could, he changes the name to Bluebell after not the Texas state flower, but a flower similar called a Bluebell. A lot of people don't know that is an actual
flower. Okay.
Whenever it blooms, it's bigger than a bluebonnet and similar in color, but darker, almost purple.
Okay. Hot take, bluebonnets are lame. Anyway,
they're very delicate. They're very pretty. Mm-hmm. So he start, he's running the business and he makes Bluebell the second most successful ice cream in the United States as far as sales.
And here's me being a Texan. Who's first?
Dreyer's, I believe.
Dreyer's?
Yeah, Dreyer's. I believe they sell more.
Who buys it? I guess there's a whole other country
and this
outside
is like
of Texas, but...
So this guy turns around what is a creamery
and
makes it into an ice cream specific...
Yeah.
manufacturer mm-hmm. and the reason that they're so successful is because he was committed to doing things slowly.
Mm-hmm.
He was famous for saying nobody got lost on a straight road.
That's right? Not a bad point.
It's not a bad point. Not,
can you imagine Gary Vee saying that, by the way?
Yeah, I know, right? Just
not sexing it up and saying, like,
yeah,
nobody gets lost on a straight road.
How was that Gary Vee? That was good Gary Vee. That was good Gary Vee.
You know what I like? Ice cream. Every day, we're going to sell one flavor. I'm just crushing.
I'm going to sell ice cream to the Jets.
I sell all the time. I'd rather the Jets be sponsored by Bluebell.
Anyway. Side note about Gary Vee. Andrew Schultz made a joke about him buying the Jets.
Yeah.
And he was saying that's going to be, you know, the most significant thing to happen to the New York Jets in New York City.
Basically ever.
Right.
Yeah.
And in my head, I immediately was like, well, you know, that's just the second worst Jets-based disaster in New York history.
Anyway.
E.F. Cruzy brings in his entire family to run Bluebell. And to this day, as of very recently, it was a family run and operated business. They never owned it outright.
Really?
So for whatever reason, they chose not to own the creamery. Okay. They chose to run it. So they're on they're still family members on the board.
Yeah.
They're still family members in various positions. Mm-hmm. And they, you know, they were CEO and operators for a long time, but they never actually owned it. And I thought that was fascinating.
Yeah. Who owns it?
I'm not sure who owns it, but it is a privately held company.
Yeah. Okay.
So they don't have to disclose like their sales or anything.
That is
wild. It's really
wild.
I bet
they do sell more than Dreyer's then. I can't fathom that Dreyer's is selling more than Bluebell.
We will, we'll get into this at some point, but there was a point in Bluebell's history where they went through a little rough patch, and I'm just going to bookmark that for later.
There's a thing coming later.
So we won't talk about it right now.
I promise we're going with that.
Hey, gotcha. No, you're fine.
Hey, comedy.
Ed died of cancer in 1951.
Yeah, from ice cream or
just from, you know, he was just too good at life, honestly.
Got it.
But I wanted to celebrate for a second this Texas badass who was born in Brenham, who took over a creamery, who grew it from a tiny, you know, one county creamery to the national ice cream giant that it is today.
That's awesome.
Based on work ethic and adhering to principles of quality.
Yep. And objectively, the best ice cream you can possibly get.
And I need to do more research, maybe. Like, where is this movie? But like, he started out as a school teacher. They brought him on
from school?
He was like 20 whenever he started.
What?
Yeah.
I mean, those who can't teach make ice cream.
Make ice cream.
And really good ice cream.
Really good at it too, yeah.
Look, it's not the 1920s anymore. Everybody has a business or a startup of some sort, whether it's a side project, whether you've ditched the silver spoon and are going all in on your side hustle to make it a full-blown business, or you have a small business already, but you've hit a plateau in growth and you're trying to find different ways to turn your marketing dollars into legitimate revenue. Well, Creators Collective is here for you. They are a full-service marketing agency offering marketing, branding, logo design, copy, video, social media management, anything custom to your business or your startup or your side hustle that will help you grow your bottom line, grow your brand reach, and just feel like you have the best dang company ever because your marketing assets are frankly better than everybody else in the game. So what you need to do right now is go to creatorscollective.us and contact them to schedule a call and find how Creators Collective can help you grow your business for the long term. That's Creators Collective. Schedule a call and just grow your freaking business with marketing that freaking works.
Can you imagine a Wolf of Wall Street
version?
Like Martin Scorsese presents.
And we're going to talk about it next week.
There's so much
to talk about next week.
All right. Stay tuned for next week.
Stay tuned for next week.
Also, go to Bluebell Pint. You're going to the HEB.
Oh, yeah.
What's the
My Bluebell Pint? Cookies and cream. It is their most popular flavor for a reason.
That's true.
I honestly think that the Bluebell cookies and cream is the second best ice cream you can get in a grocery store.
What's first?
Trey's Garcia. I know. Okay. It's not everybody, but that's my favorite.
I'm going to let the comments take care of
that. Yeah, please.
Let them say
what's your go-to?
Chocolate chip cookie dough, which is not as popular
as
I thought it. I think it's the best flavor ever.
It's such a good flavor.
And I love the texture of the cookie dough because you get with the ice cream. Yeah. And I really like chocolate chips. Just something about, because even chocolate chip ice cream from Brahms is delicious to me. So yeah, I always get chocolate chip cookie dough.
Yeah.
And it's kind of fun because Jenny loves cookies and cream. So cookie two-step is just
both of those.
The best thing ever.
That's a really good one.
It's a very good
one. Yeah, it's a very good one.
And I felt very loved Ryan here. Mm-hmm. Shouts out Ryan.
Shout out Ryan Gallego.
DM'd me when Bluebell dropped their Dr. Pepper flavor.
Yeah.
And said, I just thought of you when I saw this.
Clearly so they listened to the podcast.
Clearly.
Dr. Pepper and Bluebell, the collab everybody wanted.
Did we say that?
We never did, but
okay.
We did have a Dr. Pepper reel go
incredible,
go viral enough.
Fair enough.
Yeah, and you know, Bluebell is cool with viral stuff. It's the bacterial stuff they worry about.
We'll get there later. Stay tuned for next week.
Next week,
Texas update.
Let's do Texas update.
Freshly waxed dolphin and tech millionaire Brian Johnson made headlines again this week for swapping blood with his 17-year-old son. And for his next trick, he'll test further on the spectrum than Elon Musk.
In related news, groundbreaking research out of Harvard confirms that everybody obsessed with contrast therapy and biohacking is still going to die.
It's groundbreaking research.
Groundbreaking research.
Speaker of the Texas House, Dade Phelan, who looks like if Jimmy Neutron became a mortician, was accused of running the floor while intoxicated last week. Said Phelan, you can take boy out of lacrosse, can't take lacrosse out of boy.
The third annual gathering of the Kyles in Kyle, Texas, unfortunately was unable to break the record for the most people of the same name to be gathered in the same location. They did, however, break the record for most mayonnaise consumed in an afternoon.
And that was totally Kyle.
That was totally Kyle. Oh, I forgot about totally Kyle.
Is he dead? Have you seen the Drake Bell stuff?
There's a lot of iffy.
Well, he's had a bit of a.
He's had a bit of an Amanda Bynes
couple of years.
Because Josh Peck had a glow up, and it's like every step that Josh Peck took in the right direction, Drake Bell took in the opposite direction. He had a glow down.
It's clearly. Yeah, something bad.
Something real bad.
Karma is real.
Right.
Clearly. Someone did something good.
Yeah.
And so, have you seen some of the old Disney stars coming out with their own podcasts lately,
yeah.
too? There's the chick in Dallas.
Yes. The Even Stevens girl.
Chrissy Romano.
Yeah.
It was also Kim Possible.
Yes.
What's Stitch?
Dude.
She's got a podcast.
Cartoon Crush.
The guy, there's three brothers.
Mm-hmm. Jonas.
Not them. Technically, no. There's four.
Yeah.
A third of them have diabetes. Anyway, that's a Bo Burnham joke.
I love that. Yeah.
But the guy from Boy Meets World, the handsome guy
yeah,
in the later seasons.
Ooh. I can't remember his name.
Sean something. Hunter or something. To say, those three brothers have a podcast now.
Okay. Because
they were all Hollywood. It's just interesting all these
It kind of makes sense. They have great stories.
Yeah.
Christy Carlson Romano's show is actually kind of interesting because she has Beans on as like her co-host.
Yeah.
He is really funny.
Very
clearly very good at his job.
Yes. And also it's interesting to see someone like that be serious because his character was so
off the wall.
Off the wall as a child. Mm-hmm. And then you see them act normal.
Yeah. It's a bit of a trip, yeah.
Yeah, or even on I feel so bad that mm-hmm. I can't think of their names right now. But those three brothers.
Sure.
Have a podcast. It's the one that was in Mrs. Doubtfire with Robin Williams. Mm-hmm.
I know exactly who you're talking about. Yeah.
And he tells a story of witnessing Robin mm-hmm. Williams' insane depression.
Yes.
Or tells a story of being asked to perform sex on a male producer as a kid to get a role.
To get a role. And what do you do?
And it's all this stuff that you're like, oh yeah, I don't envy that
at all.
And they're not doing it in the no one should envy my life. They're just telling stories
what happened.
That make you realize, oh yeah, I don't want that at all.
And you've got the Culkin brothers. Mm-hmm. I need them to do something because
they do a couple things separately,
but I need them to come together to do a podcast.
There's not necessarily. Right?
Yeah. There's three of them.
Uh-huh.
And they're all insanely talented.
Yeah.
The oldest one is the reason there is a law that makes sure that child actors have a trust set up.
Really?
So
is
whenever,
that Macaulay or
that's Macaulay Culkin.
Okay. Yeah.
I can't remember the name of the law, but mm-hmm. He's the reason pretty much.
Cause
dude, their parents were really mismanaging all the money they made.
Shocker.
And you hear these stories of the Culkin brothers. They had a one bedroom apartment. They all slept on a mattress on the floor in mm-hmm. the living room as Macaulay mm-hmm. was working on Home Alone.
Which is crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, they're Shia LaBeouf.
Shia LaBeouf, same thing.
He's come out and said a lot of the stuff in Honey Boy was not accurate.
Yeah.
But the part about him being in the Boys and Girls Club and living in a hotel room with his dad was true. Yeah. That was actually happening, which is crazy.
Insane, right?
And speaking of podcasts.
Speaking of podcasts.
100 episodes.
Dude, we made 100 episodes.
We have made 100 episodes of this show.
Whenever we started, we said we don't know what's going to happen with it. Yep. We don't know where it's going to go. All we can say is that every Monday we are going to release an episode. And we have held true to that with... What, we've missed one,
I think one or two there was Mondays. One, I think post-Leadville.
Post-Leadville, we one, took a week off.
We took a week off because we were both like...
We were both like, oh my God.
Can't breathe. Yeah. And it's been a wild ride.
It has been a wild ride so far. And I mean, look, we started with two snowball mics and a laptop, and now we are in a professional studio.
Now we are in Pouch 6 Studios here in Austin, Texas. Make sure to book your time at pouch6studio.com.
There you go.
We are not sponsored by Buc-ee's.
No, we're not, but we should be.
We should
like,
be.
Look at this. Look at this. This is amazing.
Check out the summer line.
Hi.
what? Just I like.
Sure.
We want to do some emotions. Bigger stuff for 100.
If anybody wants to donate like $10,000 to us, we will do some insane things for a special.
And we do have some. And we do have some stuff down the road. It was just going to be too hard to get what we wanted done.
Well,
time.
And a lot of life has happened.
A lot of life has happened in very good
especially
ways,
especially recently. But a lot of life has happened.
But we keep showing up.
And that's,
do this show.
If nothing else, that's what we've done. And we've accumulated several million views.
Which is crazy.
You know.
Do you ever think about that? Like, I'll be driving down the road and realize, it honestly makes me watch what I say a little bit more. Not in a scared way, but I just want to make sure I, even if we're joking, make it tasteful as I possibly can.
Positive, tasteful.
Because it'll hit me that, a million people
to put it in perspective,
saw
right,
that.
Physically, right? Mm-hmm. Austin, Texas population is not 1 million people.
Which is incredibly hard.
Which is wild.
Yeah.
I mean, the surrounding areas, sure.
Yeah.
But like Austin, Texas is like what, 800,000, 900,000 people, something like that?
Yeah.
More people have seen our things than live in Austin, Texas.
And have mostly enjoyed it.
For
the most part, have enjoyed it.
Well, even like, okay, even some of the ones where you're like, oh, that didn't perform well or whatever, like we'll get something with 3,000 views.
Yeah.
Put 3,000 people in a space.
Yeah.
That is
a packed house.
That's Red Rocks.
If a band sells out 3,000 people,
that's a good night.
They lose their mind.
Yeah. Heck, that's amazing.
If you make a movie and 3,000 people see it, that's pretty freaking cool.
That's pretty amazing.
So very stoked about that. Without getting too self-indulgent, we just want to celebrate 100 episodes. What has been your favorite moment in Texas podcast history? And what have you learned by doing 100 episodes of Texas? Of the many things you've probably learned.
Sure. My favorite moment has to be the first time we hit record.
Yeah.
With the little snowballs on our laptop.
Yeah.
Like, what are we going to do?
Holding them sitting across from each other. Make sure we don't get too far.
Honestly, that first one is my favorite one.
Yeah.
That was a really special moment for me because we'd been talking so long about how we could do something creative together.
Yeah.
But we never really figured out quite what it was going to be.
Yeah.
So just doing it, the act of doing it is my favorite memory as far as like starting this.
Yeah.
Yeah, what about you? And I'll answer the other one after you.
God, I mean, there are so many moments.
Because I think about these little moments starting. I think about calling Pa. I think about... That was a fun one. I think about transitioning to the radio room.
Yeah.
The original one.
Yeah.
I think about the first time we walked into the studio.
Yeah. Pretty crazy.
Pretty crazy.
Pretty freaking crazy. Man, there's so many, and it spans that spectrum of emotional and just cool feeling.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to go with, it's the collection of moments that I've caught you off guard and have made you laugh. Like when I made the Lena Dunham joke,
and we had to end it there
and made you laugh. Or earlier when I made the Who's Going to Carry the Loads joke and you laughed really hard. All of those moments just making my brother laugh have been just honestly, like from an emotional standpoint, it's just fun to come in here and make my brother laugh because we do this all the time, but doing it this way has just been really fun and has just filled my head with all these little flashbacks that if I'm having a down day.
Yeah,
I'll think of this moment a year ago where we said something or you said just the moments that we're laughing in this room or in the treehouse or in your room just make my heart happy. So it's similar to the act of making it, but specifically the laughter that we've had making the show.
Oh, man.
So
as far as things I've learned,
yeah,
there's so many, so I can't choose one, but mm-hmm. I've definitely, in a way, I feel like I've learned what my purpose is.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like by doing this, by entertaining people mm-hmm. in our own small way,
yeah,
I've learned what I'm supposed to do with my life.
Heck yeah.
And so that's the biggest thing. Mm-hmm. But beyond that, it's learning the consistency aspect of it.
Mm-hmm.
Showing up.
Yeah.
Learning how to ask for help.
Yeah.
Learning how to say, I can't do this.
Yeah.
You know, learning those things.
Mm-hmm.
Learning how to truly engage and interview somebody mm-hmm. has been really rewarding.
Yeah.
What about you?
Okay, don't forget to follow Seth's newsletter, Cowboy Up. Where can they subscribe to that?
You can find me on Seth Daniel Rogers at Substack. You know, Seth Rogers, Cowboy Up, you know.
Link in bio.
Link in bio.
All right, cool.
Whatever.
Check that out.
If it's you great. Find it, you find it.
He's sharing a lot of what he's learning.
Starting
has
to.
Learned, is learning. It's a great newsletter. I read it. I think it's great.
The way I like to put it is I've messed up a lot in life, and I hope I can help at least one person not make the same mistakes. Hey,
there you go. I think... it's again similar to yours, and yeah. it's twofold. I have definitely learned that I really enjoy entertaining people, and yeah. that sounds weird to say,
but it's there's a thing.
I've learned that I feel like I'm in a sweet spot when again I'm making you laugh,
yeah.
or we're making the guys here at the studio laugh,
yeah.
when we're meeting Uncle Laser and yeah. Zach
Tellender
yeah. and making them just, laugh.
Well, even like when we walked into the studio today, there was somebody we'd never met.
Yeah.
And I think you and I slipped into that mode.
Yeah, we slipped into, all right, it's podcast time.
And we entertained Danny and Ryan for like yeah, 15
for
minutes.
About 10, yeah, and it just feels fun.
It feels better than anything else.
And it's not in a, I want to be famous.
No.
I want to, it's not that thing that people that become famous that are, mm-hmm. I want to be. It's just, I love entertaining people. And so I want to always have some sort of outlet where what I'm doing is creative and
makes people laugh.
And on top of that, I've learned how to write jokes.
You have.
And that's not something I thought I would ever be able to do.
Yeah.
I've always appreciated comedy, both from a movie standpoint mm-hmm. and from a book standpoint, stand up. But I've never seen it as a craft, really, or mm-hmm. I've never perceived it as something I can sit down and write jokes.
Yeah.
That if I read them out loud, someone would laugh.
Yeah.
And doing Texas Update, or even actually writing our not sponsors out, or just thinking of how we're going to say talk about stuff and premise
I catch myself thinking of, as Bert Kreischer would put it, thinking of goofs.
Like, no, I'm always now, because when I run, I pray and talk to God a lot.
Yeah.
And I also just think. I'm just thinking, and I've started thinking in premises.
Mm-hmm.
And I've started thinking in punches. Mm-hmm. So it's taught me how to write jokes. And I actually appreciate having that skill set because it makes this better.
Absolutely.
But it's also made like my profession as a copywriter and a content writer, in my opinion, better because I know how to inject a little bit of humor.
Well, because all sales is setup.
That's all it is.
That's all it is. Yeah. Setup and punch. Setup and punch. It's less funny.
Yeah, it's way less funny. And if you go too far, there's consequences.
Every now and again, I'll send somebody an at like something I did as a draft mm-hmm. because whenever I write copy like you, I write
mm-hmm.
jokes,
mm-hmm.
and I'll send them the actual draft full of comedy.
Yeah,
and I just enjoy doing it because they're like, this is hilarious. You can't post it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I know.
All right. I'll fix it.
Like, I know.
Bring it in.
I just wanted you to see it.
So yeah, I've learned that I enjoy entertaining people.
You're also very good at it.
Well, as are you.
Thanks, man.
And I love what we get to do together.
I do too.
And I love you.
I love you more.
Even if we didn't do this.
We would do this.
So that's what I've learned is people think that we practice this.
No.
Or people will come up and say, y'all's chemistry is crazy. How do y'all do that? We lived in the same house for 18 years.
Yes, we did.
This is just what it sounds like.
And admittedly, I do think we have a special bond as brothers.
Yes, of course.
That is different than some people's, you know, what they're used to.
Yeah, I mean, who else could hit me in the stomach with an 80-mile-an-hour fastball when he's 10 and I still hug you?
Who else could kick me in the face before church for no
you
fucking
were
reason?
On the toilet for two...
Is that what it was?
It's because you hit me in the stomach with the baseball.
No, that was before that.
Oh, so
that
you
was
hit
way
me in the stomach
after, that was after.
Because I kicked you in the face.
These are like years apart.
Sorry for the abuse.
Yeah, yeah.
I just want to point out, those are the only instances where
those are the only instances of physical violence. Yeah. Yeah.
There was the time that I sprayed you with a water hose.
Oh, and I fell off.
And you fell off.
Yeah.
And so then you rat-tailed me with a wet towel. I did rat-tail you
with a wet towel.
Immediately. In the same spot that you hit me with a baseball.
So something about the solar plexus.
Yeah.
You say this like it happened back to back. These are so far apart.
Back to back.
No, the baseball and the rat tail.
Yeah, those were far.
Yeah. You set it up
those
like
were far
yeah,
those apart, were far apart. But the fence and the rat tail.
Oh yeah, that was like immediate. Within I was 5 minutes, so mad.
You were very angry,
dude. I thought I was gonna die.
Yeah,
like I fell on my back on the concrete.
Oh, you're bringing up your back again.
Oh, well, that's where it happened.
Oh, so it's my fault. Yeah,
it's your fault
that you're in pain.
Well, I just remember I fell and I was like, well, this is how I die, clearly. and I got the wind knocked out of me and just like I couldn't get up and I was like, oh, I'm paralyzed.
You never told me.
Yeah, that. I was so mad.
Yeah, and it was such a little brother moment because I was spraying everybody with the water hose and I sprayed you and then you disappeared and I just carried on.
You know what's funny? I genuinely don't remember rat tailing you. Like I don't remember it happening.
I remember
I remember the baseball.
It must have been so violent that you've blocked it,
maybe,
because it was bad. It was brutal. I mean, I'm sure it wasn't as bad as falling on concrete on your back.
Sure,
but maybe. I'm also younger
and you're also small. You're such a little brother. Gosh, you somehow make your initiation of violence my fault.
Look, man, I just had a lot of ear surgeries.
Yeah.
I had a cleft palate.
Mm-hmm, I know you did. You came into the world,
Seth.
Okay, let's conceptualize this really quick. You came into the world unable to speak, and now you speak for a living.
Yeah.
There's something about
There's something really twisted.
There's something really twisted there.
And narcissistic about
did
that.
Did you have to go to speech classes?
Yeah, for 2 years.
Cool.
Do you not remember how he used to say my name?
No,
mom and dad
don't.
Are real smart?
Yeah.
I'm going to do it.
Do it.
Ladies and gentlemen, I thought I'd never do this, and it kind of makes me wince anytime people... Yeah. I'll tell people I had a cleft palate,
right?
And they'll ask, did you have a speech impediment? And I say, yes. And then they go, did it sound like this? Gonna watch us. Yes, it sounded like that. I couldn't say my R's.
Do you know what I remember?
What?
Chocolate bunny.
Okay.
That's what I remember.
I couldn't
That's
talk.
What I remember.
I get it. I'm disabled. It's a whole
You're not
thing.
Sensitive about it at all. Again,
really
the best,
not.
Like, okay, we never know what somebody else is going through. I don't remember you having a speech impediment ever.
Yeah, I mean,
and
mom and dad
speech
like, therapy,
fast.
They took care of us.
Yeah,
I mean,
they really did, yeah.
As soon as I had a cleft palate, it was, what do we have to do to fix that?
Yeah.
It's going to come with speech problems.
Cool.
How do we...
When do we...
Some of my actual first lucid memories are of speech therapy.
Yeah.
Legitimately.
Yeah.
Just because that's how early
they
we were
started.
Doing it, so that I could speak.
Yeah.
In general, the joke is I didn't talk for 2 years, but I couldn't.
Yeah, fair enough.
Making up for lost time.
What's my excuse?
I was probably talking over you.
Oh man,
that's what it was. I was just yelling a lot.
You were the vocal one.
I'm sorry,
for sure.
I'm such an attentional.
It's fine.
Don't mean to.
I'm the emotional support brother.
If we're both emotional,
that's
support.
True. You're the one right now.
Yeah.
In fairness.
Awesome. Well, hey, thank you all for supporting
thank
us
you guys so much.
By listening. 100 episodes.
100 episodes.
It is cheesy, but there's a reality that if you didn't listen, we wouldn't do this at this point.
True.
But listeners keep growing. Thank you to the new listeners. Thank you to people who have been with us since the beginning. Like, share, follow, subscribe, Texas Pod, all the things. Buy some merch, TexasPod.com. Episode 101 coming at you next week.
Don't forget to pick up your very own David Goggins Stay Hard ED supplements.
Staying Hard by David Goggins.
Staying Hard.
Be on the lookout for Cam Haynes' Keep Hammering Dildos coming out soon as
very
well.
Very soon.
They should be really fun. They'll be fun shaped.
They're bow shaped.
they actually are.
Yeah.
Just not as pointy.
Bye, y'all.